If the Occupy Wall Street crowd wants a poster child of modern crony capitalist evil, they need look no further than former MF Global CEO John Corzine. This tycoon is the emblem of cold-hearted disregard for everyone but himself, as he arrogantly declares he has no idea where his clients' money is. The next phase of the Capitol Hill investigation focuses on the regulators, as Republicans say that CFTC Chair Gary Gensler will now become a central part of the MF Global investigation. Is it likely that Gensler's ties with Corzine from their days at Goldman Sachs, when Gensler worked for Corzine, led the CFTC chair to look the other way while the former New Jersey governor was making these ill-fated bets with his clients' money? Let's bring in Nick Gillespie, Reason TV editor-in-chief and the former editor-in-chief of Reason Magazine, which has an unbelievable cover on it, coming up in the January issue. Nick, it's a pleasure. Welcome here.
Thank you for having me, Judge, and it's a pleasure to have a great excerpt from your book in the next issue of Reason.
Oh, thank you very much, Nick. John Corzine, I mean, I'm not going to ask you to analyze this from a legal perspective, but right. from a guy whose clients are looking for $1.2 billion
yeah.
to go under oath before Congress and say, I don't know where the money is, but what would have motivated that?
Yeah.
What does he think he's going to gain by that?
Well, you know, I mean, it's I think he's trying to establish, at least until the legal proceedings start, that he's got some plausible deniability, that, you know, that he's not criminally liable for doing what everybody is, you know, is figuring that he did do, which was use sequestered accounts for illegal purposes. Corzine has a long history of betting very big and very wild in the stock market, you know, at Goldman Sachs. He basically got shown the door because he made a lot of money, but he put the whole firm at risk through his actions. It's very hard to believe that he does not know where the money is, or that, you know, he, even in his congressional testimony, he backed away from saying there's no way that this could have happened, that, you know, client money got used in deals that went south. And then later in the same testimony, he said, you know, maybe there was a misunderstanding. I don't know. But the main thing, I think, is that he refused to take responsibility, and that this whole case shows, you know, this is a company, it's a sector of the economy that's heavily, heavily regulated. In the end, the only regulation that matters is what the market does. And clients should know better. I mean, I'm not blaming people who got rooked by Corzine or by MF Global, but the only thing you can do is invest with people that you trust.
Right.
And Corzine is not trustworthy.
All right, I see a couple of ways of looking at this. One is, to pick up on what you just said, nobody put a gun to these people's heads
right.
and said, give your money to John Corzine. They all gave him their money and basically said, gamble with it. The other way to look at this is, if there's any legitimate function of government on the planet, it is to protect us from fraud. And if John
yeah.
Corzine accepted their money and promised to gamble with it and instead used their money to pay for his own gambling, I'm not talking about
right.
casino gambling. We know what he bet on. He bet on the socialist governments of Europe, which might be even dumber than casino gambling.
Yeah.
Should the government be inquiring about this? Should the government
yeah.
be saying, how did you do this? How did you get away with this?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And there is, you know, if it turns out that they mix the accounts in a way that is, you know, clearly against the rules, that's illegal and they should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law and forced to pay restitution, however that might happen. But what I'm saying is that we all, you know, the stock market is already heavily, heavily regulated, and this type of action happens or doesn't happen not so much because of regulators, but because investors are smart and they hold their business people accountable, so that the people who are involved with John Corzine or MF Global or Bernie Madoff or whoever, they shouldn't get a second chance from investors. And in the end, it's all caveat emptor, in the sense that the strongest you know, regulation really are smart investors
right.
who refuse to risk things with people who are shady characters.
All right, switching gears. Why is Newt Gingrich surging? Why is somebody who supported TARP and supported the bailouts and says the government can make you buy health insurance and believes in cap
right.
and trade and actually likes big government as long as he's
yeah.
in charge of it? How could that person possibly be the Republican nominee in 2012?
Well, I think what Newt Gingrich brings to the table that Mitt Romney, who has a similar amount of baggage, what he brings to the table beyond Mitt Romney is a sense of charisma and a sense of importance. I mean, there is no question that Newt Gingrich is a legend in his own mind. And that kind of bravura and charisma late in an election season where, it's a replay of 1996 where you have a president who is very unpopular. Right. It should be a walkover for the Republicans to win the White House. And they don't have anybody they're comfortable with. The one guy who is the key player here is Ron Paul, who is doing well in Iowa and he's doing well in New Hampshire. I'm very much looking forward, not simply because I share a lot of Ron Paul's libertarian tendencies, but what I'm looking forward to is a debate where Newt Gingrich is not just talking to yes men who are going to say, oh, yeah, Newt, that's very smart in an actual debate situation. Because Newt Gingrich is, I was reading today, somebody said, he has the mind of a child. All he cannot say no to any impulse. He'll be shown to be ridiculous.
Got it, Nick. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.